Well, I want to wish everyone a very happy and good evening for this midweek church service. Welcome to those here in the room and to those that are listening on the phone and to those listening to the recorded service at a later date. And it's good to be with you once again, and let's go right into our service. Our opening song is entitled, What a Friend We Have in Jesus. And the lyrics are found at lightministries.com/ID1805.htm. What a Friend We Have in Jesus. What a friend we have in Jesus, all our sins and griefs to bear. What a privilege to carry everything to God in prayer. Oh, what peace we often forfeit. Oh, what needless pain we bear. All because we do not carry everything to God in prayer. Trials and temptations. Is there trouble anywhere? We should never be discouraged. Take it to the Lord in prayer. Can we find a friend so faithful, who will all our sorrows share? Jesus knows our every weakness. Take it to the Lord in prayer. Are we weak and heavy laden, cumbered with a load of care? Precious Savior, still our refuge, take it to the Lord in prayer. Do thy friends despise, forsake thee? Take it to the Lord in prayer. In his arms he'll take and shield thee. Thou wilt find a solace there. Blessed Savior, thou hast promised, thou wilt all our burdens bear. May we ever, Lord, be bringing all to thee in earnest prayer. Soon in glory bright unclouded, there will be no need for prayer. Rapture, praise, and endless worship will be our sweet portion there. And what a day that will be, dear ones. And I want to see each and every one of you there. that will truly be a wondrous day, the beginning of eternity, and to be with our Lord and with one another is just such a beautiful thought, dear ones, and I pray that it will indeed become reality in each one of our lives. I invite you to please kneel and bow your head for opening prayer for tonight's midweek church service. Our dear Heavenly Father, we thank you so very much for thy wonderful kindness, thy tender love, thy watchful care over each one of us. Thank you for thy many and wonderful blessings. Thank you that you're in control of all things, and we willingly leave every aspect of our lives in thy most capable hands. Help us to see the open doors as well as the closed doors ahead of us, Lord, that we might indeed be following where you lead the way and not wasting time trying to open doors or follow in paths that you do not approve of. And we thank you so much for taking an interest in each one of our lives and leading and guiding us towards salvation step by step. Father, we invite you here in this room. We invite the presence of our Savior and the Holy Spirit to be abiding guests with each heart, with each one of us. And please, Father, pour thy Spirit out upon us in rich early and latter rain abundance this evening, that we may truly come away from this meeting blessed, refreshed, and invigorated to go forward bearing our cross and spreading the gospel of salvation as far and wide as we can. Thank you so much for being here in our midst, for hearing and answering this prayer, and allowing us to be one day closer to heaven. In Jesus' precious name we pray. Amen. Well, we're continuing in the article that is entitled Abide in Me, and the link for the article can be found at lightministries.com/SDA/ID1391.htm. Abide in me. And we're down to the fifth paragraph, which begins, the regenerated man. So lightministries.com/SDA/ID1391.htm. The article is entitled Abide in Me, and we're down to the fifth paragraph. The regenerated man has a vital connection with Christ. Okay, so what does this say about the unconverted man or the unconverted woman? Do they have a vital connection with Christ? Not yet. It is the converted individual, the regenerated follower of Christ, that has a vital connection with him. He's accepted Christ as his Savior. The Holy Spirit has been given him to lead and guide him into all truth, and he has chosen to follow his Lord wheresoever he goeth. He is converted. He's been born again. He's become that new bottle with the new wine. And that vital connection with Christ is there. He has that life that enables him to live. He's truly been connected with the sap and the nourishment and the growing power of the vine. So the regenerated man has a vital connection with Christ. As the branch derives its sustenance from the parent stock, and because of this bears much fruit, so the true believer, united with Christ, reveals in his life the fruits of the Spirit. The branch becomes one with the vine. Storm cannot carry it away. Frost cannot destroy its vital properties. Nothing is able to separate it from the vine. It is a living branch, and it bears the fruit of the vine. So if you are a branch in Christ, then the only fruit that you can bear is the fruit of Christ. It is the works of Christ. The character of Christ will be revealed in you. But if you're not in Christ, but you're in Lucifer, then the works that you will be revealing are the works of Lucifer, the characteristics of the devil. So then it's just like Christ told us in Matthew chapter 7, by their fruits they shall be known. You will be known by the actions that you do. If they're actions of the devil, then that shows you that you're not in Christ. You're in Satan. And the works of your father ye will do. So it's very important here to understand that whoever you're connected with, you will have the power to become like in character. In Christ, you'll have the power to become like Christ. In Satan, you'll have the power to become like Satan. And Christ isn't going to give you the power to be like the devil, and the devil's not going to give you the power to be like Christ. So whoever you are in, those characteristics are going to be revealed in your life. This means that if you claim to be a Christian, but you're living like the world, then your profession shows you to be a liar. Because it is by your fruits that you will be known. So it is a living branch, and it bears the fruit of the vine. So with the believer, by good works and good actions, he reveals the character of Christ. There are many who get above the simplicity of Christ, supposing that they must do some great thing in order to work the works of God. Things of a temporal nature absorb their attention, and they have little time or thought for eternal realities. Wearied with cares that draw their minds from spiritual things, they constantly ask themselves the question, how can I find time to study and practice the Word of God? Christ is acquainted with the difficulties that try every soul, and he says, abide in me, and I in you. So what does Christ tell us to do? He invites us to abide in him. And if we do so, then he will be in us, and we will be in him. So if that is a reality in your life, then the temporal things are going to be secondary to the spiritual things. You're going to live by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God, not by every word that's on your calendar to do or on your agenda to perform. Everything of this world is going to be held secondary to the things of God, you will indeed seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and then all these other things will be taken care of in due time. So don't get above the simplicity of Christ. Don't fall into the trap that you have to look for some great thing to do in order to please God. Don't allow the temporal things to absorb your attention to the point that you don't have any free time to think about, to meditate upon, to study into eternal realities. Don't allow the cares of this life to wear you down to the point that you're exhausted and you can't think about spiritual themes. But put God first and foremost in your life. Devote more and more time to Him, not just in study of His Word, but in talking to Him, in praying to Him, in listening for Him to lead and guide you. Open your heart to God and let Him come in and take control of your life. If you truly abide in Christ, and He abides in you, then you're going to bring forth much fruit to His glory because you're spending time with Him. You're beholding Him, and thus you're being changed into His image. God has given to each one of us our work, and that work may be very small. But it's the little things faithfully performed that develop your character and prepare you to do the greater things in life. So don't focus on doing some great thing and ignore the little things around you that need to be done faithfully. But perform the little things, and thus it's building your character through patience and fidelity, and thus will enable you to do the greater things at the proper time according to God's will. So Christ says, "He that abideth in me and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit, for without me ye can do nothing." Are there any thoughts or comments before we continue, dear ones? Okay, continuing. Our first and highest duty is to know that we are abiding in Christ. He must do the work. But we are to seek to know what saith the Lord, yielding our lives to His guidance. When we have the spirit of an abiding Christ, everything will take on a changed aspect. The Savior alone can give us the rest and peace we need, and every invitation He gives us to seek the Lord is a call to abide in Him. It is an invitation not merely to come to Him, but to remain in Him. So just like that branch is connected to the vine, the parent stock, that's how close of a connection we're to have to Christ. We're to be melded with Him. And there's not to be any breakage in that bond. That's how close of a union Christ invites us to have with Him. I mean, He's the King of the universe. He's the Lord God of this earth. And He invites us to be so closely united to Him that we share the same life. I mean, we're not worthy of that type of union, but that's what Christ is inviting us to have with him. He took humanity to become our elder brother, and it's through that family bond that we become inheritors of eternity through Christ. We become connected with the divine nature, and it is that divine nature in us that allows us to overcome all sin. It allows us to become partakers of the nature of God. Not that we become God, but we are enabled to live like God. Christ in you, dear one, is the hope of glory. Fear God and give glory to Him by living His life in your own life. And in doing so, God sees that you're a child of His, and Christ is coming to claim you as His brother or sister, and to take you home with Him to heaven, eternal life. That's how close of a union God invites you to have. An unbreakable bond, a oneness, like the vine to the branches. And if you have that oneness with Christ, you will indeed bring forth much fruit to His glory, because you have the power to live His life. So our first and highest duty is to know that you are in Christ, and Christ is in you. And how's that possible? How do you know that? Christ is the truth. Christ is the Word of God. By feasting upon God's Word, by allowing the truth to take hold of your life and become the guide of your actions, you know without a doubt that Christ is in you and you are in Christ, because you're allowing Him, the truth, the Word of God, to lead and guide you in all that you're to do. And to also lead and guide you into everything that you're to avoid doing. And having God's Word in your heart is not by accident. It's by a willing choice. It's by you picking up the Bible, pleading for the Spirit to lead and guide you into understanding what the passages of the texts say, allowing Him to prick your heart when you read a passage and to realize that you're not following that in your life. To have the grace and the strength and the power from above to ask forgiveness for not following the Word of God, and then pleading to have that Word embedded in your mind to the point that you cannot forget it. That's allowing Christ to live in you, God's Word to be your guide and your life. It is yielding your life to His guidance through the Word of God. But if you don't take time out to study the Word, then how do you know that that Word is truly living in you? Because you could be doing something in your life that's completely against what you read in the Bible. And that's why it's so important for you to take time to read it. And not to become so busy in the things of this earth, even in the necessities, to keep you from studying the Word. Mary and Martha, which was the two sisters of Lazarus, were different in this regard. When Christ came to visit them, Martha was in the kitchen. She was busy and worried about a whole bunch of things, about what to prepare and how to bring it forth and just when to serve the guests and etc., all along those lines. But Mary chose to sit at the feet of Jesus. She chose to listen to the words that her Savior was speaking and to allow these words to be driven into her memory so that she could live by them. So then Martha saw what was taking place, and instead of recognizing that that was the best place to be at that time, she was so focused on the temporal things that she came to Christ and asked him to rebuke Mary because Mary was not in the kitchen helping her. And what did Christ tell Martha? He gently said, "Martha, Martha, you are worried and caring about a whole bunch of things, but Mary has chosen that which is best." Dear ones, we need to do the same. Yes, there's household duties that have to be performed each day, but let us first take the time to sit and listen to our Savior. Allow His Word to be read, studied, and become a part of your life. And then you'll have more of that life to be able to perform your temporal duties. And this time, with a smile on your face and a song in your heart, because Christ is there. You've sought Him first. You've allowed Him to dwell in you, to live in you, to work through you. And then, with Christ in your heart going about your daily duties, they all fall into place. They all are done so much easier, so much faster even, because you're in the right frame of mind. You're allowing Christ to live through you. So put Him first and foremost in your life. Sit at His feet each day. And then when you finish studying, rise up and do the work that's been laid out for you to do for that day. And you'll be amazed at how much you can accomplish. And you will also be amazed that it's not so hard to do anymore. That it's not such a drudgery or an endless cycle, because you have a smile in your face and your whole outlook is now changed. You recognize in doing these small household duties, you're being faithful in the little things, and thus you're being prepared to do the greater things. So be a Mary. Sit at the feet of Jesus in the beginning of each day and allow him to take control of your life for the rest of that day. Truly, abide in him. Let his word dwell in you richly and abundantly, so that you can bear much fruit to his glory, because you know that you are abiding in him and he's abiding in you, and you're sharing the same divine life. And thus you can do all things through Christ who strengthens you. Are there any thoughts or comments, dear ones?
Well, praise the Lord, and I'm very, very glad that that could be done. I'm not exactly in a position to always talk as I am doing now, but I praise the Lord that I can do it at this moment. And I rejoice in our ability to have this fellowship. I praise the living God for the little room that he has maintained and kept open by the due diligence of our dear brother, Elder Rob. So it is really with a great rejoicing. My roommate here, as I'm here, as I mentioned before, doing some training and stuff, but he may pop in, and so you may hear some noise, but I have to answer to something. And it's what Brother Rob is sharing here in this little study, and my heart is rejoicing because I see the fruit of that kind of obedience even as I'm here, being very busy about doing many different things can definitely take your eyes for a moment off of, you know, the focus of why the Lord sends a person a particular place. What I may think is one thing, the Lord has a different plan as to what the bigger plan is. There are many dear souls here, there are vets, and they need to know the Lord more and more deeply. Many of them have a faith in the living God according to what they understand of who Jesus is and what they were taught concerning the Bible, and the hunger in many of their hearts to want to know more, I'm learning, is really, really alive. In what Brother Rob is just sharing here, it brings to my mind the beautiful significance of the covering of even every blade of grass upon the ground that the Lord God has made, and the beauty it brings to the earth as it covers it. And it brings to my mind the beauty of every petal on every flower, and every flower in every field, and the fragrance that it bursts forth into the air that we so much enjoy that our Lord has created. And I cannot help but really marry that up in what is being said, in the little jobs that the Lord gives us, that if we are faithful in those things, we really don't have any idea, I believe, at the impact that they have on the much grander picture, if we are faithful in those little things. And I put the Lord to the test in that matter because I really wanted to do better at, you know, not being so nervous and fearful. I know, doesn't seem like I have that problem, but trust me, your dear brother does. When you have to get out there face-to-face and talk to others, it can be a little bit unnerving at times. And I pray that the Lord would give me a little more courage, a little more fortitude and opportunity to share Christ and to share the present truth and be able to plant some nuggets here and there in people's hearts as I meet them. And lo and behold, he's very quick to answer. he is very eager to answer prayers of those children of his that really are asking, Lord, I want to plant more seeds. I want to grow the kingdom. I want to share the love that Jesus has with others. Help me, because I'm getting stuck here. So I praise God that the answer is very immediate. And in a loving way, he made many opportunities happen today where I did not have to open my mouth, but because I had had conversations with some of the different gentlemen and vets that I passed by about the Lord. And someone else, or one of the workers around here, heard that and pulled me aside and wanted to ask me some questions. And those questions pertain to the discussion that I'd had with this other gentleman and the things concerning Christ and the things concerning the Word of God and what's the condition of the church. And it gave opportunities to be able to share with her the Scripture and the relation of the present truth today and the call of Christ to come out from among them and to study for yourselves to show yourself approved unto God and to be able, and the Lord just gave different words. I mean, the words just kept coming and I didn't even know how to guide anything, so I just let my mouth go as the Lord wanted it to go. And it was so beautifully done that the person just would ask another question and then ask another question, and I was able to answer another one, and then their eyes would open up and they'd wonder about that. Oh, I didn't know that. And especially concerning the Dark Ages and the church, the work of the Church of Rome and the suppression of the truth and the persecution of the saints, and all of these different things were coming out, and the non-immortality of the soul and the state of the dead. Everything was coming out in its proper time, and little nuggets were being planted in their proper time. And lo and behold, there was another worker that happened to be sitting nearby who happened to be Muslim. And that person was sitting and listening too. So it's not just those who are, you know, children of God, and they're hungry to know more truth, because they really don't have it all completely, but the Lord is allowing individuals who are even just sitting by who don't exactly have the truth. So I just wanted to share that, even as you were saying, dear brother, if we are faithful in those little areas, and also being just like Mary, sit at the feet of Jesus and do that which is best, be responsible for what little tasks that the Lord gives. He blesses abundantly to the willing, yielding, obedient heart. The opportunities will open. Sweep the floor with honor. Wash the dish with humility. Serve with grace. That's really what it's all about, because not everyone can be the noble cedar tree. Sometimes we just have to be a couple of blades of grass. But if a bunch of us are different blades of grass, the beautiful green verdure that covers the ground becomes a cushion to other people's feet who have to tread and trod through maybe some hotter sunlight that they have to bring that message to someone else. So then let us give comfort to our brothers and sisters as they're serving. Let us do our little part in obedience and humility for Christ. Let us do that. And that's what we need to really be doing. So, and I'm learning that. Even, you know, where I am, I'm learning that. And I praise the living God for that. So thank you for the opportunity to be able to share that. I can't say when that will happen again, but I thank the living God that I'm able to do it right now. God bless you all. And thank you for keeping me and my very dear loved one in prayer. You are all very much missed. God bless you all.
Thank you, dear brother, and God bless you too. And we are indeed keeping both of you in prayer, and we thank you for your prayers for us as well. Keep looking up, dear brother. And praise God for him opening the door for you to share. And you mentioned before about when you were talking to the elderly gentleman that was trying to get you to come back to a organized, recognized denomination, and how you kept sharing with him that that's not what the Bible is bringing forth. It's a relationship with Christ, not a relationship with a denomination. And as you continued to share with him, other individuals were listening and catching little bits and pieces of the conversation, and It sounds like the Lord was doing the same thing in the situation with you today or the other day when you were mentioning about. So keep sowing the seeds, dear brother, and God will take care of the increase. He will indeed allow those seeds to sprout at the proper time and bring about an abundant harvest for His kingdom and His glory. So praise God, dear brother, and we will definitely, well, in fact, let's go ahead and bow our heads and pray for the individuals that you were able to share with, that the truth will not be lost on their hearts, but will indeed sprout at the proper time and bring about a new soul to the image of God. So let us bow our heads. Our dear precious Father in heaven, we thank you so very much and we praise thy holy name for the witnessing time that Brother Joel was able to have with dear precious souls in his area there. And we pray, Father, that the truths that were shared will not be lost, that they will not be snatched away by the wicked one, but that they will be recalled to mind, and that the people will be curious to investigate further into what they heard and to take thy word and to study into it more closely. And please, Father, have thy spirit working upon each heart that they will be led and guided into all truth, and if possible, to be able to find Brother Joel and ask him the questions again, and to have a eagerness to want to learn. And Father, please be with him, continue to bless him, continue to give him the words of wisdom to share at any proper time. And we thank you, Father, that all things are in thy hands, in thy perfect timing, and that you have him there for a reason, for such a time as this. So continue to strengthen him, continue to lead and guide him, comfort him. Please be with Sister Pierna and comfort her. Protect her, lead her, and guide her, bless her. And we thank you so very much, Father, for doing this until they're able to come back together once again. And Father, I pray that you'll be with each one of us, that you will continue to lead and guide us, help us to spend time with you at the beginning of each day, so that we may give you full and complete control of our hearts and thus be able to rule in and through us for the rest of the day. And please give us the words to say that will be as cool water on souls that are thirsting and hungering to want to know the truth. Help us to be a blessing to others, an encouragement, and especially pointing them to the Savior, that they will truly be able to find rest and peace and love in Him before it's too late. We thank you, Father, for hearing and answering this prayer and for being with us throughout the rest of tonight's meeting as well as the rest of this week until we're able to come back together again on another wonderful Sabbath. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Are there any other testimonies or thoughts or comments, dear ones? Are there any other prayers that you would like to offer? Please feel free to do so. I think we'll go ahead and stop in our article, and we'll just go ahead and turn the time over to whatever else you would like to discuss or to pray about. Or to praise God through song or testimony. So please go ahead, dear ones. I'd like to sing the hymn, Draw Me Nearer. I am thine, O Lord, I have heard thy voice, and it told thy love to me. But I long to rise in the arms of faith and be closer drawn to thee. Draw me nearer, nearer, near, blessed Lord, to the cross where thou hast died. Draw me nearer, nearer, near, blessed Lord, to thy precious bleeding side. Consecrate me now to thy service, Lord, by the power of grace divine. Let my soul look up with a steadfast hope, and my will be lost in thine. Draw me nearer, near, blessed Lord, to the cross where thou hast died. Draw me nearer, nearer, near, blessed Lord, to thy precious bleeding side. Oh, the pure delight of a single hour that before thy throne I spend. When I kneel in prayer and with thee, my God, I commune as friend with friend. Draw me nearer, near, blessed Lord, to the cross where thou hast died. Draw me nearer, nearer, near, blessed Lord, to thy precious bleeding side. There are depths of love that I cannot know till I cross the narrow sea. There are heights of joy that I may not reach till I rest and dwell with thee. Draw me nearer, near, blessed Lord, to the cross where thou hast died. Draw me nearer, nearer, near, blessed Lord, to thy precious bleeding side. There was a question put in the room. It says, is the New Jerusalem only the 144,000 as Christ's bride, or are all true believers from Adam and Eve to the present time Christ's bride? Well, it's my understanding that the 144,000 is the bride of Christ. They are the Lamb's wife. But that doesn't mean that they're the only ones saved, because there's guests at the wedding. And those guests at the wedding are all of the other believers from Abel all the way down to the last follower of Christ dying in the Lord before he comes. All of those individuals will be raised from the grave and taken to heaven. But the 144,000 will not see death. They will not taste of death. They will not be raised from the dead like all the rest of the redeemed. They remain alive unto the coming of the Lord. So there you have the difference between the two groups. The 144,000 are the bride of Christ, and the guests at the wedding are all the redeemed from all the ages who are raised from their dusty beds, and the 144,000 are caught up in the air to be with Christ in the clouds, and they all go to the wedding feast that takes place in heaven. So that's my understanding of the difference there. And you brought up the New Jerusalem, because it says the New Jerusalem is adorned as a bride of Christ. And when you understand that Christ doesn't marry a city, he marries a people. He marries his church that he's the husband over. You begin to understand that the New Jerusalem is adorned as a bride. In other words, the characteristics of that city are characteristics representing the 144,000. So when you understand that the holy city has these characteristics that bring about the more full representation of the 144,000, then you begin to understand that that's why that city was adorned as a bride, because it represented the 144,000 in character in different ways and manners. And that's a study in and of itself. But anyway, it'd be good for you to look at those similarities there and try to pick out the reason why the city is four square and why it's 144 cubits thick and why there is 12 gates with one of the 12 tribes of Israel on each gate, meaning that depending on the characteristics you have as an individual, matching which of the particular tribes will be the gate that you go through if you make it to heaven, if faithful to the end. And that will be one of the gates that the 144,000, of course, will go through. And as they come from the spiritual tribes, one of the 12 tribes of Israel, and we know that Ephraim and Dan is not going to be two of the tribes that are going to be there. They're going to be out of heaven because Ephraim is joined to his idols and the Spirit stopped working with them because they had made up their mind to cling to their idols instead of to Christ. And Dan is another one that's not going to be there. Dan was the backbiter. He was the one that would bite the heel and cause the rider to fall backwards. And when you study into the characteristics of Dan, the territory that they were given was too small for their tribe as it got bigger. And so Dan went and conquered territory, I think it was farther north, and their territory bordered Babylon. And the trade route went right through their territory, and so they were caught up in the trafficking of Babylon. So that's why Dan was left out. They were connected to Babylon, and that's why Ephraim was left out, because they were connected to their idols. So yeah, there's some question in here as to how Ephraim could be one of the tribes when Ephraim and Manasseh were part of Joseph's children. And that was because Jacob absorbed in Ephraim and Manasseh from Joseph and made them part of his family. So now you basically had 14 different tribal children, and two of those tribes were cut off because of unfaithfulness to God. So that's where the extra two came in. Dan and Ephraim were lost, whereas Joseph and Manasseh took the place. It's quite an interesting study when you're able to have the time to go through that. But everything that God does is for a purpose and a reason. And everything that you read in the Bible is for a purpose and a reason, or it wouldn't be there. There's no needless words in the Scripture. They all have meaning and purpose. That's why they're there. There's some truth that the words bring out. And so it's not just happenstance. It's for a reason. And when you seek to understand that reason and you plead for the Holy Spirit to open your understanding, then he will do so, and he will reveal to you wondrous things. And it's just, anyway, I encourage you to study into that subject of the 144,000 in the city of God, the New Jerusalem, and you'll be richly blessed if you do so. But are there any other thoughts or comments or songs or questions, dear ones? Please feel free to do so. There was a request for the song We Speak of the Realms to be sung, and so I went ahead and put it in the room. We speak of the realms of the blessed, that country so bright and so fair, and oft are its glories confessed, but what must it be to be there? We speak of its pathway of gold, its walls decked with jewels so rare, its wonders and pleasures untold, but what must it be to be there? We speak of its freedom of sin from sorrow, temptation, and care, from trials without and within, but what must it be to be there? We speak of its service of love, of the robes which glorified wear, of the church of the firstborn above, but what must it be to be there? Our mourning is all at an end when raised by the life-giving word. We see the new city descend, adorned as a bride for her Lord. The city so holy and clean, no sorrow can breathe in the air. No gloom of affliction or sin, no shadow of evil is there. Do thou midst temptation and woe for heaven myself prepare, and shortly I also shall know and feel what it is to be there. Then over the bright fields we'll roam in glory celestial and fair, with saints and with angels at home, and our three gods will be there. I love that song.
We just want to give praise. We've been praying for this. It's supposed to be a young man that was missing. He was artistic, and they found him. So praise God that he is able to be sent back to his family. And all the sisters that were praying for him for the Monday meeting, I just wanted to let you all know that he was found and he's going to be given back to his family. And hoping that maybe dear Sister Lynn, when she comes back, she could be able to give a very great praise also concerning her co-worker Latoya. I would allow her to be able to share that with her, with everyone concerning that as well. I would like to just go before the Lord to pray for a lot of our brethren that will be traveling during these days, and just hoping that the Lord will be able to have trouble and mercy and bringing them back home safely. Righteous and Heavenly Father, I come before the Lord to give you thanks and praises. Dear Savior, thank you for guiding this child. Maybe he didn't have the ability to defend himself, but you always led him to go and find safety in different places, dear Lord, and you put the edge around him. And you were able to let this child be reunited back to his family, Father Jesus. We thank you so much for the heavenly angels that is around your people, and especially those that are helpless, dear Lord. Thank you for being so good to us, Father Jesus. Even in answering prayer, we may not know the child, but we know what it is as parents to be able to miss a child, Father Jesus, and especially in the condition that we had as well. Father, we pray for each and every one of us here and our families that are going to be traveling, dear Lord, and keep us ever so close to thee, Father Jesus, and keep looking towards your lonely children, especially those that are spread all over the world, Father Jesus, doing missionary work. May you please take care of this dear family, Father Jesus, and put an edge around them, dear Lord, and keep them continuously protected, Father. I pray, dear Lord, that you be able to help us also to walk in this narrow path, Father, as children, holding on to our Savior, guiding every step and every path that we travel, Father Jesus, and leading in the way also, giving words out of season and in season, Father Jesus. I would like to also bring before you, Lord, an individual that was brought to my attention, dear Lord. Her name is Stephanie, and she had cancer, Father Jesus. It was actually in remission, Father Jesus, and now it came back. I pray that the information that has been sent to her, that she may be able to take it step by step, dear Lord, and first to believe in divine intervention, Father, for you're the only one that can call every cell in our bodies back into order. I pray, dear Lord, that their help message also is something that they can be able to remember, that the way we eat is the way how we allow our bodies to be able to respond. And Father, I know that a lot of the foods that they're going to have to partake to be able to help their system rehabilitate will not be something they would like to have, Father Jesus, but I pray that you give them the strength to be able to do so. Father, help this body of believers to be able to be more acquainted with all the necessary remedies that we need to have in mind to be able to help in these trying times, Father Jesus. Diseases is going to be increasing more and more, Father Jesus, because of the food that has been given in this time to be able to eat. Help your lonely ones, Father Jesus, to be able to find places to be able to live and grow their own food, Father Jesus. Those that are willing to do so may not have the means, and those that have the means, Father Jesus, do not want to leave their comfort to be able to have their life in us every day, praying, Lord Jesus, to make a way for them, Father. So I pray, dear Lord, that you may be able to put your hand upon that and help us all in this journey, Father, that we may be able to go home. I pray, dear Lord, that the table that we all would like to sit on is the one that is in heaven, dear Lord, where you will be serving. Thank you for that beautiful moment of reflection that you gave, Father, to share with the brethren and also those that are concentrating on tomorrow, Father Jesus. Please let them know that there is a greater thanksgiving that we are all prepare ourselves to, Father Jesus, and is the one to be able to be a guest in that table. This is my prayer in Jesus' precious and holy name. Amen. And also, Lord Jesus, forgive me for my sins and my iniquity and my shortcomings. Please do not allow my unrighteousness, Father Jesus, to block this prayer. May it be able to be lifted into your throne, dear Lord. This is my prayer in Jesus' precious and holy name. Amen.
Amen. Are there any other prayers that you'd like to offer, or any other songs that you'd like to sing, or any questions or comments or thoughts that you'd like to bring forth, dear ones, before we close? Please feel free to do so. Well, I want to thank one and all for coming this evening and for making this a wonderful meeting tonight. And I ask you to please bow your heads and kneel as far as you're able to do so for closing prayer for tonight. Our dear precious Father in heaven, we thank you so very much for being here in our midst. We thank you for leading and guiding us into the truth. And Father, please help us to indeed put you first and foremost in our lives. Help us to spend time each day in sweet communion with thee, with Jesus, with the Spirit and thy holy word. And Father, please continue to Allow your word to be driven into our hearts, be indelibly emplaced in the memory of each one of us, so that it may become the guiding force in our lives, that we may truly live by every word that proceedeth out of thy mouth, that the truth can indeed take the throne of our hearts and be the guide of each one of our actions. We thank you so much for thy merciful kindness and tender love, and please be with us now as we part just for a short time. Be with those who are traveling. Give them traveling mercies. Help them to keep their thoughts on things above and to be a pattern of health reform and proper diet to those whom they may be meeting with, relatives and friends and loved ones. And please continue to be with us through the rest of this week and bring us back together once again to have a wonderful fellowship in opening of the Sabbath and in communion with thee and with one another in the faith. We thank you for thy love, and we love you too, dear Father. Thank you for hearing and answering this prayer. In Jesus' precious name we pray. Amen. And dear ones, I'd like to leave you with a scripture song. Be perfect, be of good comfort, be of one mind, live in peace, and the God of love and peace shall be with you. 2 Corinthians 13, verse 11. So go with God, dear ones. Our love and prayers are with each one, and looking forward to seeing you soon.